are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, we're grateful for your word. We ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit that we might hear and believe and walk in your truth. In this time together, in your word, grow us, mature us, make us more than we ever dreamed we could be, according to your word. Thank you, Father, for this high and holy privilege. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. We're going to focus primarily on verses 12 through 14. Hear now the word of God. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join together and following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, on the third Monday in April, 1980, New Yorker Rosie Ruiz was the first woman that year to cross the finish line of the 26.2-mile Boston Marathon. Her win shocked everybody. Her win shocked everybody because she was an unknown in the world of running. Even more, her win broke the record. So, along with the general glory of winning the race, she was crowned with a laurel of green leaves symbolizing her victory. But before that very day was over, people began to question her win. First, when she crossed the finish line, she was not drenched in sweat as one would normally be after running 26 miles. Not only that, she had not been spotted at any of the intermediate checkpoints along the race route. And to top it all off, in an interview right after the race, she seemed not to understand some of the very basics of the sport of marathon running. Well, it was later discovered that she had indeed cheated. It was discovered that she had entered the race. She snuck into the race from the crowd about a mile away from the finish line. And so 8 days after the race, she was disqualified and another runner was named the winner. Now, even though she was caught, still, every year in marathons around the world, many people are disqualified because they try to take an easy shortcut. In our text this morning from Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul compares the Christian life to a race. And this is an image that Paul uses throughout his writings in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul writes, "Run in such a way as to get the prize." And speaking of the end of his own life, Paul wrote, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." The Christian life is a race in which there are no shortcuts. It is a long, hard, grueling race. And if I can engage in some real and plain talk this morning, I must confess that in running the Christian race, that my problem is not other runners. My problem is not those to my left or to my right, or those in front of me or behind me. My problem in running this Christian race is me. I am my own problem. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get weary. Sometimes I wonder if I can keep on putting one foot in front of the other. But by the grace of the Lord Jesus, I keep on going. Sometimes I run, sometimes I walk, and sometimes I even have to crawl. But I keep going. I keep going. I keep going. I keep going because deep down in my soul, the last thing I want is to get to the finish line and be disqualified. So if you are here this morning needing some encouragement and some help in running this race, that's what the Word of God offers you this morning. In Philippians chapter 3, we are given four essentials in running the Christian race. Four essentials to help you press for progress. Number one, if you're going to press for progress, if you're going to run this Christian race, you've got to have a holy dissatisfaction. Have a holy dissatisfaction. That is, have a holy dissatisfaction about how you are running this race. Again, look at the first part of verse 12. First part of verse 12, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal." Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal. What does Paul mean when he says that he has not obtained all this or arrived at my goal? Well, he's talking about obtaining and reaching the goal of spiritual perfection. He's talking about reaching the goal of completely and always obeying God, of living in unbroken holiness, of perfectly reflecting the beauty of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's talking about spiritual perfection. And friends, although we never fully achieve spiritual perfection in this life, we are driven by the Holy Spirit to pursue it. We're supposed to be pursuing it. Paul says that he is not yet fully the person God intends for him to become. He hasn't reached spiritual perfection, and so he keeps running toward that goal. How about you this morning? Are you motivated by the goal of spiritual perfection? Are you motivated by the goal of becoming all that God intends for you to become? The Bible says that through Jesus, you and I have the hope of glory. Are you pursuing glory? Well, as I observe many people, it seems to me that many people have just become complacent in this race. We've become complacent in the truth that we are imperfect. So when we evaluate ourselves, when we look at ourselves, we say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. I'm only human. And so we become complacent with that imperfection. And Paul says here, no. If you're going to run this race, have a holy dissatisfaction. How do you evaluate your race, the way you're running this Christian race? Are you one of those people who looks around at others and thinks, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I got a whole lot of people behind me. I'm running pretty well. I'm doing better than a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people are living in sin. And I may not be perfect, but compared to a lot of people, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. So you know what? I think I'll not run as hard. Paul says, no, don't do that. The goal is not to beat other runners. It is to cross the finish line into spiritual perfection. So keep on running with everything you got. Or are you one of those people who looks at other runners and says, you know what? I am so far behind. I'm so far behind, and it seems like everybody is running this race better than I am. You know what? I think I just might as well quit. Paul says, no, don't do that. Know that it is Jesus who called you into this race, and he was the one who gave you your lane. He put you in your lane, not someone else's lane. He put you in your lane to run your race. Besides all that, the Bible says, the first chapter of Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So don't give up. Don't give up. You may feel like you're behind. Don't give up. You're not running this race in your own strength. Have a holy dissatisfaction if you're going to run this race to the finish line. Number two, if you're going to press for progress in the Christian life, if you're going to run faithfully this Christian race, Paul says, put forth determined effort. Put forth determined effort. It's not enough to have this holy dissatisfaction. You've got to put forth some determined effort. Emphasis on determined. Determined effort. Effort. Look at the second half of verse 12. Paul writes, but I press on. Somebody say press on. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. If you're going to progress in the Christian life, it requires determined effort. I mean, like real effort. Real effort. This stuff just doesn't happen by accident. It takes real effort. Paul's attitude was not, just let go and let God. No, put forth determined effort in your spiritual life. Now, understand that Paul is not talking about earning salvation. right? Salvation is the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on a cross for the forgiveness of your sin. He rose from the grave to give you eternal life. The Bible says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. So Paul is not talking about putting forth effort in order to be saved. He's talking about exerting effort because you are saved. By his goodness and grace, Jesus has taken hold of your life. He has made you his own. Now Paul says, run with determined effort. An effort to be and know and do and have and experience all that Jesus has for you. Listen, friends, there is so much more. There is so much more to experience in God. So put effort into this. So I got to ask you this morning, what kind of effort are you putting into your spiritual progress? The apostle says, press on, press on, press on. And friends, understand what that means. Pressing on is not a one-time, two-time, three-time, temporary event. It is continuous over and over and over, over the long haul. It's not, oh, yeah, once or twice. No, it is to press on for the long haul. Listen, friends, hear this. Don't miss your blessing. Don't miss your spiritual breakthrough. Don't miss your progress to the next level of spiritual growth and life in the Lord because you prematurely stop pressing on. Over the years, I have pastorally advised a number of people to consider seeing a therapist. Many have responded to me by saying, I tried that and it didn't work. How many times did you go? Twice. That's not long enough. Press on. Listen, friends, earlier this year, I went on a low sugar, no ice cream diet for a week and a half. Right? That's not long enough. Right? It's just not long enough to see any kind of results. You've got to press on into the faithful thing for the long haul. You've got to press on in prayer. You've got to press on in prayer. What happened to our monthly prayer meeting? You've got to press on in reading your Bible. Well, you know, I started and every once in a while I'll pick. No, you've got to press on. As a church, we've got to press on in outreach. We got to press on in work. In worship, last week, you all in that congregational meeting said something that is absolutely faithful. You said that when we gather for worship, that we desire to have an encounter with God. Friends, that takes determined effort over the long haul. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a tweak this or that thing in worship. It takes effort. You got to press on into that over the long haul. We must press on for progress in worship. We've got to be like Moses who said to God, show me, show us your glory. Show us your glory, God. And how many people and whole congregations are in a season in which God is saying, look, here is the faithful thing to do to progress in this season. And they're saying, we're not sure we want to put effort into that. If you're going to run the Christian race, you've got to put forth faithful, determined effort over the long haul. Third, if you're going to progress, if you're going to press for progress, if you're going to progress in this Christian life, this Christian race, third, focus on the future. Focus on the future. Look again at verse 13. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." That must have astonished the Philippians when they read that, right? This is the Apostle Paul, a man who's been serving Jesus and planting churches. If Paul hasn't arrived, then surely none of us has arrived. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Here Paul is saying that because he has not reached the goal of spiritual perfection, because he has not yet reached the goal of fully becoming the person God intends for him to become, that he pours out his energy into this one thing, this one thing. What is the one thing? Well, there's a colon there. He pours out his energy into the one thing of the future. He writes, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He's focusing on the future, what is ahead. And friends, you got to know that it's not about your past, it's about your future. Your best days, our best days are always ahead of us, not behind us. Now, when Paul says that he is forgetting what is behind, he's not talking about memory loss. He's not talking about literally not being able to remember the past. For often, in the Bible, to forget something means that it no longer has power over you. So, for example, God says, "I will remember their sins no more." Now, of course, God does not have memory loss. It simply means that God will not hold our past sins against us. So here, when Paul says, forgetting what is behind, he's saying that he is not going to let anything in his past stop him, distract him, discourage him, or keep him from focusing on the glorious future that God has for him. It's about your past, not about your past. It's about your future. If you are wallowing in the good old days, you are not running this race well. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Her future was ahead of her, but she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Focus on the future. A good runner looks forward and not backward, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. Straining toward what is ahead. Focus on the future. Listen, understand that God is not bound by time. God is not bound by time. God is not bound by past, present, and future. God is within time. God is above time. And God is beyond time. So listen, when you focus on the future, not just the future in general, it's the future that he has for you. It's the future laid out in his word. When you focus on the future that God has for you, it's as if the Spirit of God moves out from the future, lays hold of you, and draws you into the future that God has for you. And God's future for you is good. Good. You should always say that your best days are ahead of you. God's future for you is good. He says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The Bible says that one day One day you're going to stand before the Lord without spot or blemish. The Bible says that one day in the future, you're going to be completely transformed by His glory. That Jesus is going to restore the earth to paradise, and we're going to live in it. We're not going to be floating around in heaven like you know, little angel babies playing harps. No, we're going to live on the earth in new bodies, physical bodies remade by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to restore the earth to paradise, and we're going to live in it. And there's not going to be any death or disease, and the devil is going to be thrown into the lake of fire, never to bother us again. There's not going to be any war or injustice. Even wild animals will be at peace. And you will experience such bliss and pleasure that your mind can't even fully conceive it now. I'm just trying to tell you, your future in Jesus is glorious. So in this Christian race, when you get tired, when you get weary, when you don't think you can put one foot in front of the other, focus on the future. How do we press for progress? Have a holy dissatisfaction. Put forth determined effort. Focus on the future. Fourth and finally, trust God's power. Trust God's power. Look again at verse 14. The apostle writes, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Listen, again, friends, it was God who called you into this Christian race. It was God, it was God, it was God, it was God Himself who called you into this race. And God has given you the Holy Spirit to empower you. And understand that when God called you in Christ to belong to Him, that He also empowered you. His calling comes with power. Listen to what the Apostle Peter writes. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostle Peter writes, I love these words. His divine power has given us everything we need. Wow. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It was God who called you into this race. It's God who empowers you to run this race. And although this Christian race requires your effort, you don't run this race in your own strength. When I was in college, I had a roommate. His name's Jonathan. And for some reason, Jonathan decided to get a dog. And it was a lab. It was a huge lab. And, you know, this was under 30 years ago. This was many years ago. And I was, at that time, I was probably 100 pounds soaking wet. And Jonathan and I would take turns walking Buster, and Buster, he would spot a dead bird or something on ahead, and I mean that dog would take off, and he would just drag you, right? So technically, I was walking him, but because of his strength, because of his power, he was really just pulling me along. Paul says in the text that Christ Himself has laid hold of your life. Christ has laid hold of you, and He's pulling you into the future. He's pulling you into the good that He has for you. He's pulling you into that glorious future. So you don't run in your own strength. Although this Christian life requires effort, you don't run it in your own strength. Christ himself has taken hold of your life and the Holy Spirit is empowering you. So trust God's power. Trust God's power to help you run. For his word is still true. His word is still true. That word that says, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall what? Run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Trust God's power. Well, verse 15, Paul tells us that these four essentials, for running this spiritual race are views, they are attitudes of mature believers. If you are a mature believer, you ought to say yes to this. And Paul says, if you disagree with this, well, God will reveal this to you. If you truly belong to him, he will reveal that these things that he says are true. He'll reveal it through his word. He'll reveal it through prayer. He'll reveal it through hardship in your life. But he will reveal that this is right. This is how we are to run this Christian marathon. And he also says, know that you have brothers and sisters who are examples of faithful running. Learn from them. He says, don't worry about those who are enemies of the cross. Their minds are on earthly things. Don't worry about them. They're headed for destruction. You're headed for the finish line of glory. Don't worry about those enemies of the cross. He says, your citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven. And Jesus is coming again. And by his power, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. It's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's the finish line right there. Transformation of these lowly earthly bodies into glorious bodies like that of Jesus. Amazing. Amazing. Astonishing. In the ancient games, at the finish line, a runner would be crowned with a laurel made of leaves. And the Bible says that in Jesus, you and I, at the finish line, will receive the unfading leaves. Leaves die. That crown goes away. But we will receive the unfading crown of glory. Thanks be to God. Friends, let's run this race. Amen.